Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 20, especially these verses. And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, successful businesses usually have a business plan. And usually the plan is to make a lot of money. But sometimes the plan involves making a limited amount of money. For example, a store may have a loss leader. That's a product that they'll offer to sell without making any money on it in order to bring people into the store so they end up buying other things that they'll make a lot of money on. Or a business may make a contract based on which they will make very little profit. But that's in order to get the business from a competitor, otherwise they wouldn't be making anything at all. In our personal lives, we also make plans. Plans for our career, plans for our family, plans for retirement. Our plans also may include making money, but also having enjoyment, maybe making a difference in the world. We may want to do as much as we can do for ourselves, but for a fulfilling life, we also may need to do counterintuitive things. We may also have a goal of doing things for others and relying on what others can do for us. Our text reminds us that this must include what only Jesus can do for us. Because God, too, has a plan for our lives, a plan for our eternal good. And our text reminds us that God's plan for us may seem to have an odd shape. Jesus says, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Jesus' parable in our text is an illustration of that truth. Here we see people's selfish plans trip them up. We see that God's gracious plan is what sets us up, because Jesus' sacrificial plan is what holds us up. Let's look first at how people's selfish plans trip them up. He began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they could give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the servants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. Jesus' parables often were not understood, even by his disciples, until he explained them to them. And yet here is a parable that is at least partly understood even by his opponents. And I think that's because they had heard a parable like this before. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah says that Israel is God's vineyard. But he goes on to say they produced bad grapes. And so God allowed this vineyard to be trampled and torn down. And Jesus' hearers probably recognized that Isaiah's prophecy came true when Israel was carried off into Babylonian captivity and the temple was torn down. Now, they may have also recognized these servants coming to the vineyard in Jesus' parable as the prophets who came to God's people in the Old Testament to tell them, you need to give God his due. That includes what John the Baptist called the fruits of repentance. But they know very well that those prophets were rejected and persecuted and even killed. Had the Old Testament leaders had a better business plan, they would have sacrificed the first fruits of what God had given them according to the covenant so that they could have kept the vineyard in business. So, who were the tenants that were in charge of the vineyard now? Well, of course, it was the very religious leaders that Jesus was talking to at this time. They thought they were doing a pretty good job of running God's vineyard. They were keeping it in the black. They were making sure that the sacrifices to God were regularly made in the temple. But they had just had a discussion with Jesus just before this text about their not accepting John the Baptist as a prophet of God. Jesus seems to imply that they too are rejecting God's prophets. And I don't know if they caught the idea that the master son in the parable who was sent to them was Jesus himself. But I think a strange thing in this parable is the idea that if the tenants kill the son, they would somehow inherit the vineyard. Well, why would that be? Actually, there's one case in which that might be. That would be if the owner himself had already died, and this son was the only heir now coming to claim his inheritance, and if he died, then they might be able to claim it by squatter's rights. Jesus is implying that they are acting as if they think God is already dead and has somehow now left them in charge of everything. Well, he goes on to say that the master is not dead, but they will be, and the vineyard is going to be taken away from them and given to others. What could this mean? Except that history was going to repeat itself and Israel would once again be destroyed, this time by the Romans. They respond, heaven forbid, surely not. In other words, even when realizing the point of the parable, they, like those before them, refuse to bring the fruits of repentance. What God says surely always comes true, but not exactly in the way they imagine, because God's gracious plan sets us up. We read, when the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard, but the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. In Jesus' parables, the stories are often exaggerated, hard to believe. One thing that I think is hard to believe in this parable is that after this vineyard resulted in such grief to this master, and including the death of his own beloved son, that he's going to go around and offer to other tenants again, instead of just getting out of the vineyard business altogether. This parable is not only about God's judgment, it is also about God's grace. God is amazingly patient and generous and ready to start over again and again and again. Because Jesus' rejection by the Jewish leaders and his death, God does indeed bring others into the vineyard and give it to them, and that is us. Their loss is our gain. The Jewish leadership and even the temple were destroyed, but new branches were grafted into the old roots, the stump of Jesse, to be a new people of God. That temple was replaced with a new house of living stones, that is, the church, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Ephesians, which we heard this morning, saying everything he had built his life on in the past, he considered now a loss for the sake of being in Christ. So we too need to think about our plans for our lives. Shall we live as if God was dead and irrelevant, and everything depends on what we do for ourselves, and our lives are our own to do with whatever we want to do, without planning ahead to the next season of eternity? Or shall we keep in mind what God has planted in our hearts and minds, because He is looking for the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control, and the fruits of repentance, contrition, obedience, and faith. This parable reminds us also today that our church is God's church, and He has His own plans for it. Not just so, what we need to do is not just do everything we need to do to stay in business, but all that we can do to be about His business. We live in the humble awareness that everything we have belongs to God, and He graciously gives it to us. Wanting to have it all is a good way to lose it all. Rather than thinking that Jesus doesn't fit into our daily life very well and the plans we have for ourselves, we need to see Him as the one on whom our whole lives depend every day. If we live as if everything depends on us and God is dead, the result is that we and the church end up dead. Instead, we live as if God died for us, because Jesus' sacrificial plan is what holds us up. The owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." They threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This word in our text, translated cornerstone, can also refer to the odd, almost triangular keystone at the top of an arch. If you're building a wall, you want rectangular stones, flat, parallel, to stack straight up. And so that kind of a stone you're going to keep pushing aside. But if you're going to have a window in your wall to let in light, or a doorway to allow access, then you're going to need that unique stone for the two sides of the arch to finally lean on and rest on, which is the way of holding everything else up. God, the builder of everything, has planned all along to provide a window to bring the light of His love into the world. He has planned all along to have a door for us to have access into His home. The key to His plan is Jesus. The Jewish leaders knew that the parable was about them, but Jesus knew more. He knew that this parable was about Him. He is revealing that He already knows everything that they are plotting, that is to kill Him, and He already knows everything according to God's plan, that He who is God's only beloved Son would be rejected and die outside the city walls. Jesus' crucifixion is the ultimate act of man's rebellion and hateful rejection of God and His plans, but at the same time, it is also God's ultimate victory over sin and His loving way of bringing us into His kingdom. Jesus is God's lost leader. The verse Jesus quotes about the rejected stone is from Psalm 118, the same psalm that the people quoted just a few days before this during Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And this same psalm also has other verses pointing to the resurrection. "The Lord has not given me over to death." Jesus knows that he will die, but he also knows that he will rise again. Although it is not in the way that the wicked tenants planned. It is because the beloved son of the master is killed that we do indeed receive an inheritance. It becomes ours, not by legal default, but by God's grace. It is not just the Jewish leaders who killed God's son. It's our sins which put him to death. We are those tenants. We do fall on that stone, and we are crushed when we repent. But God lifts us up again in forgiveness. Because Jesus, that odd stone that doesn't fit into human plans, is lifted up in the resurrection to become the keystone, and we are held up by leaning on him and his strong love. So we see that the people's selfish plans trip them up. When the owner takes a long trip and seems to be gone, the tenants take a big trip and fall by thinking they can now do whatever they want. But God's gracious plans set us up. In the parable, Jesus gives those leaders the business, but reveals God's plan to give us the business of being his fruitful vineyard. Because Jesus' sacrificial plan is what holds us up. God may not always fit into our plans, but God has a plan based on Jesus into which we fit. His plan is that Jesus dies and is raised up again so that we are lifted up with forgiveness and rest on him as the key to our whole lives, now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.